Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth, the end of June 2021. And no co-host tonight. No Mikey, no Chris, no nothing, no Maddie, no Graham, nobody. It's just me by myself. But I have a great guest tonight. So that's the reason I don't have a co-host. I've got a great guest tonight, and I might as well introduce that guest right away. We're going to be talking estate planning and elder care planning. You know, elder care planning is dealing with issues of seniors, especially like Medicaid. You need Medicaid assistance. And I've got my good friend Raj Gul with me today of the firm Offit and Kerman. And Raj has been helping me with clients' needs in estate planning and elder care for, let me think. How far back is that? It's been a while. I'd say at least 20 years.
Yeah, it's been a good friendship.
Yeah, it has been excellent, and you're a great professional, and I appreciate all the help that you've given us over the years. And tonight, you're going to help our listeners understand some great issues in estate planning, elder care planning, and we are going to take phone calls if you want to call in. 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask your question of Raj about estate planning, you know, maybe you need a will, or somebody's telling you you need a revocable trust, or you need an irrevocable trust, or you're hearing about all these new estate taxes that are going to be coming out, and you're panicked, and you're wondering what should you do, and how, you know, da-da-da-da-da, and should I be gifting everything away? You know, there's tons of questions in the estate planning arena, or maybe it's just simple things like I got a will, or maybe somebody passed away recently, and you're just curious about what you need to do. Those are some of those issues that Raj easily can handle for you. So if you want to call in 410-922-6680, or maybe you have somebody who has extensive medical care needs in long-term care or assisted living, and you're wondering, how am I ever going to pay all these bills? Mom and dad don't have that much money, or you know, it's my spouse, and I'm draining down the assets pretty quickly. How am I going to deal with this? Another area that Raj is an expert in. And if you want to call and ask those questions, 410-922-6680. Anyway, Raj, are you there? I hear you're there. You were just talking.
I am here. I'm looking forward to a great conversation.
How are you surviving all this fun stuff that we're experiencing the last year?
I don't think we've ever seen, there's two ways I can look at it. Fortunately, the family stayed healthy, and everyone around is taking the right precautions. But I tell you, I don't think we've ever seen, and I know you've probably seen this, Drew, we've never seen as much emphasis and attention to estate planning and tax in all my years that I've started, which is a good thing, because I think it's getting some needed attention to the very topics you just mentioned.
Right.
But unfortunately, it's because a lot of people have become ill.
And passed away, yeah.
The elderly, it's been very, very difficult. I don't think a week goes by that someone hasn't passed away, or I have a family struggling, dealing with the long-term care needs of a family. And then if that wasn't, you know, challenging enough, then we have our friends down in Washington, D.C., wanting to make some pretty dramatic changes to our tax laws. And I thought, I was confident that we'd be sitting here on June 30th with some level of clarity, but not only do we not have clarity, they are all over the place. That makes that aspect of challenging and dealing with the tax laws and whether to gift or not gift, just doubly. So this is the perfect storm
This is the perfect storm, my friend. And if they do come out with any major tax laws, I don't even want to think of what your life's going to be like for a few months.
Well, it may be a moot point because the interesting part, as you know, is when will those laws take effect? So many of the proposals in Congress, if they pass, will retroactively go back either to the date that the law was introduced. In many cases, many of the proposals were on April 28th. And there's a procedural ability for Congress to make it retroactive back to January 1 of this year. So it may be that these laws, if they go in the form that they take, which I doubt because of the politics, it could be a done deal and our opportunity to plan. So that's why we really are trying to, encourage a lot of people to have these conversations and to think about their planning. If there will be affected, obviously it's not everyone that will be affected by these laws. Usually it's going to require a certain net worth, a certain amount of annual income before you'll be really affected by it. But it's just a good opportunity for everyone to take an opportunity to review their plan. While there's an opportunity to do so.
Absolutely. And there have been lots of changes to the tax laws. For example, the way IRAs and retirement plans are received and by a beneficiary no longer is a long-term payout. It's now just 10 years. The end of 10 years, you got to liquidate the account.
Right.
And you know as well as I do, Raj, that you probably wrote a lot of trusts which were required to send out the required minimum distribution because you wanted to maintain what we called a conduit trust. And if that provision is still in your will and you die, it could be a very negative thing under the new tax law. And this is the kind of garbage we deal with day in and day out, Somebody once said, Raj, that... He said, people always talk about complicated things being, like rocket science and brain surgery. They say, gosh, it's not brain surgery or anything, because it's brain surgery is so complicated. But he said, what they really should say, hey, this isn't tax planning. This isn't tax attorneys or CPA work, because when we wake up every morning, the laws could change on us. It doesn't change on the rocket scientist or the brain surgeon. They're the same single day.
And I think it was Einstein that was quoted. I mean, one of the most brilliant people in all of human history has said, nothing is more complicated than the tax code. And I think that encapsulated that.
And it was simple when he was alive compared to today.
Absolutely. So,
Raj, I got to take my first pause with traffic. You're going to have to hold on, but we don't have anyone online if you want to ask a question to Raj about estate plan. We're going to get into some technical issues with Raj in a second when we come back. But if you want to get on and direct the conversation yourself, 410-922-6680 is the way to do that. Right now, we're going to traffic. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're talking with Raj Gul of Offutt Kerman. He's an estate attorney and also does elder care planning. So if you want to call in with a question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, and direct the conversation, something that you feel would be helpful to you. Otherwise, I'm going to bring up the topics that I want to bring up. And Raj, you know where I want to start is with blended family, second marriage. You got a, right. some, a client comes into the office and they're 60 some years old and they've got children, and the other person they're going to marry has children and they're going to get married. And, you know, too many estate attorneys treat this as if it's a simple thing, and it is nothing but it's not simple. It's very complicated, and there's lots of tax implications. You know, how do you deal with this? And it got worse now with a new Maryland law, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. With the elective share issues.
Yeah, the elective share issue. And let's talk about that and explain to people what an elective share is and how critical this is now to that blended family and so forth.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, there's really kind of two big problems, issues that once people become aware of, they're like, oh my gosh, wait a minute, that's not what I have in mind. So one, like you said, a lot of people opt to have a traditional plan and they leave everything outright to their surviving spouse because ultimately that's who they want to take care of. And they're like, well, you know what, at such time that my spouse passes away, I'm confident that he or she will make sure that that money comes back to my children, which is what my intentions are, and that that will be honored. And look, sometimes that does get honored, but you know, it's hard to predict what people will do, what influences they may be under, relationships change, and all of a sudden, the surviving spouse, many years after your passing, decides to divert the money to their children, and thereby cutting out your children, and there's frankly no recourse at all for your children to get the inheritance that they know you that you wanted them to receive. So then in the alternative, and this is sort of problem number two, to answer your question, that a lot of people then opt to say, well, fine, I will just go ahead and designate and leave my money to my children. There's enough that my surviving spouse has, so there's no need for me to make any provisions for him or her. So what they do under the terms of their will or through a beneficiary designation, life insurance or an IRA, they make the children, their children, the direct beneficiaries. And what happened, and this law took effect October of last year, is that as a matter of public policy, Maryland says that, wait a minute, we don't want to run the risk that the surviving spouse may be cut out of an inheritance, so we will give him or her the right to file an elective share. And what that is a claim against the assets that would have otherwise gone to the surviving spouse, either through the under the terms of the will or by beneficiary designation. So even though your beneficiary might say 100% to my children, the surviving spouse may be able to file a claim and get a certain percentage. And then, you know, just like we've talked about at the outset, every law is very complicated. So it's a very, you know, convoluted formula that would dictate the amount. But your spouse could step in and take a percentage of those assets that you really intended for your children. So if not addressed properly, this could have a lot of unintended consequences and having a distribution that is not anywhere close to what you intended.
Yeah, and so, that's true. But let's think about a lot of the other issues too. So there is no simple solution. You could use trust, okay? Right. You know, a legal trust, and put your money in the trust that the spouse would be considered a marital interest that they got in it, even though they can't control the full asset. You could
that's
do that,
exactly right?
But
that's
when
right.
you do wow. that, when you do that, Raj, you're bringing in a lot of expenses, a lot of extra costs, and you could, if you have a lot of retirement assets, you could be bringing in a ridiculous amount of extra income taxation.
Income tax, no doubt about it, no doubt about it.
And that's the issue that a lot of estate attorneys don't explain to people when they bring them in. They say, "This is, we're just going to do a trust, and your assets will go to your children. Don't worry about it." And it's
exactly
like
right.
that's not as simple as that, you know. And then a lot of attorneys will also say, Raj, you know, well, you need to do a prenuptial agreement. Well, prenuptial agreement is great, but you also have to maintain the prenuptial agreement.
That's right. That's exactly right.
There is no easy answer to this problem, is there?
No, there's not. I mean, and it gets very emotional, but, you know, I mean, but these are the options, believe me. It doesn't become any easier upon death. It gets 10,000 times more difficult. But at least we can explore, and depending on the assets and depending on the income that's involved and the goals, sometimes a trust could be it. Sometimes it's a hybrid, a certain amount that goes to the spouse, either outright or in trust, and a certain amount that goes to the children. Sometimes there is faith and confidence, and people do sometimes opt to leave it simple. Sometimes people will purchase an additional life insurance policy. Say
right.
That, you know, I want it to go directly to my spouse because I know he or she will need it.
Right.
But I also don't want to run the risk that my children will be left high and dry. So they purchase a way of kind of building and expanding their wealth so that way they can kind of get the best of both worlds. And again, there's pros and cons, like you're saying, on every one of these options. And, you know, we just need to figure out what makes the most sense. But with a thoughtful, open conversation, and it oftentimes doesn't get solved in one conversation, but with some thoughtfulness and reflection and establishing the goals, you know, I mean, you really can get to a good plan. So that way, when that day does come, we have, you know, we avoid the chaos and the uncertainty and these unintended consequences that you correctly allude to, Drew, to make sure that we really get the best of what our client really is hoping happens after he or she passes away.
You know, and I hate to even mention this. It disgusts me that I have to, but you know, as a professional advisor with my clients, I have to talk to them about, are you sure you want to even say I do at the altar? I mean,
yeah.
Me
yeah.
Personally, my heart says, yeah, if I'm going to make a commitment to somebody, I want to go to the altar and say I do. But
yeah.
The tax laws and the government are making it very difficult to do that anymore.
And you use the correct, you know, terminology. You know, we have, you know, more prenuptial agreements than I've ever seen. Also, I'm seeing a lot of postnuptial agreements. So a lot of couples who get married, you know, very traditional. They had nothing, and now you fast forward, and they've accumulated assets where they never thought about these issues. And then sometimes you'll need to have, you know, an agreement, a separate agreement, aside from the estate planning documents, to ensure that these certain rights, like the elective share, don't get exercised, which could be done in a way to subvert the plan. So,
yeah.
You know, so it's hard enough to be an estate planning attorney, but now we have to be a family law attorney on top of being a counselor, a therapist, a psychiatrist, and it makes for some interesting conversations. But I think it's a very healthy process.
Right. I actually think that the government should allow somebody to be able to go to a pastor or a priest and be married in the eyes of God and not be married in the eyes of government if they want to.
It would save a lot of lawsuits and
That is illegal. If a priest or a pastor marries somebody, they have to tell they have to get a license before they're allowed to come before them and say. So to me, where's the separation of church and state in this situation, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, it's another story, Raj. We got to take
another
pause for traffic, and we're going to come back. I got another big topic I want to talk about with you. If we don't get any calls, 410-922-6680. If you want to direct the conversation, 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Raj Gul, who's an estate attorney in the firm Offit and Kerman, and he's also elder care. And if you had an estate planning question or an elder care question and you wanted to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Raj, so let's continue on the path of the blended family and how difficult this situation is. So A couple come in, they're 60-some years old, maybe they're even 70, and they say they're going to get married, and they're going to do a prenuptial agreement, and this is her assets, this is my assets, et cetera, et cetera, and everything's going to peachy keen. And I say to them, well, if one of you needs a long-term care situation, is that prenuptial agreement going to protect you? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Those are my assets. Those are her assets. And you're going to tell me that's not true, isn't it?
Unfortunately, it is not the case. You know, under law, state law, you know, spouses have an affirmative duty to support each other. And so a prenuptial agreement, no matter how well drafted and no matter what it says, will be disregarded. And that really comes up quite frequently in the Medicaid arena, that someone thinks that, you know, we'll be able to qualify, especially if you have the spouse who doesn't have much by way of assets coming into the marriage, thinking, well, then we'll just go on Medicaid, which obviously is the program with, you know, for people with very little by way of assets. And then that's when everyone realizes, nope, not so quick, that the state, as a condition of eligibility, will look at the assets of both spouses. And that's when there's a rude awakening to the to the spouse who's got sort of the economic dominance, when their assets now are being disclosed and potentially having to be spent down as a condition of Medicaid. And that's a big oops that a lot of people just don't realize until it's too late.
And in addition, you can't just say, well, we'll just get divorced if that situation happens. And that's not an answer easy either.
Not an easy one. You know, I think judges have, you know, on a couple fact patterns, you know, divorce has been used successfully as a sort of a Medicaid asset protection. But needless to say, you know, keeping aside the moral and the religious aspects of the sanctity of marriage, there's a lot of hoops you need to jump through. Judges can be sometimes skeptical of those sort of side agreements to have all the assets in the name of the healthy spouse. So, you know, that doesn't, you know, typically become a viable option. And so that's when you have to look at, you know, other alternatives. You know, obviously we're big proponents of couple thinking about it. Should they get long-term care insurance? How would this be addressed? You know, that's just too many people focus so much on death and, you know, where we're going to live and who we're going to pay the bills. But that big big threat of long-term care expenses oftentimes gets ignored to the peril of the family. So,
and long-term care insurance isn't easy to get anymore.
No, not only is it not easy, it, you know, obviously it's can be very cost prohibitive, and I think Drew, you probably can attest to it. I, you know, from what I understand and what I've seen, is that the premiums have just jumped up at the roof.
Oh, absolutely.
Several years, so you know, even if you have it, it becomes very unwieldy to maintain it. Again, if you have a limited budget, and again, that goes back to your earlier point. You know, people need to understand that before they say I do. Because this could be a real source and a big source of friction between the healthy spouse and the children of the spouse who is ill, who's going to be responsible for what, and it can become a real challenge.
Yeah, you know, here's another one, again, blended families, you know, and, you know, things that people don't know. When you get married and say, I do, there's a lot of things that comes with that you've not talked about, nobody explained to you and so forth.
Yeah.
But here's the one that I've had two clients in the last month or two, new clients coming to me, and their second marriage within the last 2 years, maybe at the most. And I said, do you realize that when you said I do, your 401k became his or her beneficiary on your 401k? And they said, no, I still have my children as the beneficiary, and that's what we agreed to. And I said, the minute you said I do, they became your beneficiary. And even if they don't want it, the company will not give it to your children. They will insist it go to that spouse until he signs off or she signs off on a waiver saying, I do not want to be the beneficiary.
Yeah. And that's where you have, you know, federal law that steps in you know, quite frequently and dictating that. So again, and the other hallmark is even if you have a prenuptial agreement, you know, and that's oftentimes, you know, ways that you can address at least some of these issues. Again, when it comes to long-term care issues, you know, that gets more or less disregarded, but in some of these beneficiary designations, you can address that. But, Drew, and I'm sure you've seen this as well, that here someone has the thoughtful prenuptial agreement, but then they don't actually implement it after the marriage. They forget to sign the waiver. And then you have
right because that prenuptial agreement says that once you say I do, shortly thereafter you will sign a waiver to the 401k plan. But they can't sign the waiver prior to the marriage. They can only sign it after the marriage.
That's right. And you know, of course, everyone's thinking bliss. They're you know off to their honeymoon, and we'll get to it. We'll get to it, and then they never do get to it. And then you have these unintended consequences. And, you know, and of course, we can always, you know, reverse it. You know, and of course, you know, the other set of challenges, of course, we're talking about marriage. And, of course, you can reverse it. You know, what happens when you get divorced? And, you know, the importance of updating these beneficiary designations and, you know, some of the unintended consequences that can happen on the reverse when things are just kind of left you know, kind of static quo for because it's been that way for 20 years, and now unfortunately there's a divorce. Then that causes its own set of challenges there too. So
yeah, so I would say that blended marriages are probably the most difficult of all estate planning.
There's no doubt about that. No doubt about that.
And especially if you have one where there's estate taxes involved.
Uh-huh. That's right.
So you have one spouse that's coming into the marriage that doesn't have a lot of assets and the other spouse is substantially wealthy and has estate tax issues. And that gets ridiculously complicated now.
Absolutely. And again, that's where, you know, again, I think educating our clients before they get married on these issues. Again, if there's a prenuptial agreement, you know, making sure, again, that kind of gets into the issues of, you know, estate tax portability. And being able to use someone's unused exemption, so that way you can, you know, shelter more of the assets from the estate tax. But all of that needs to be discussed. It needs to be memorialized, not only in estate planning documents, but also, you know, if there's a prenuptial, which is oftentimes the best way of handling some of that. Otherwise, you know, it could be too late, and there could be some missed opportunity, and it will cost families some real money. So
yeah,
it's so important to focus on this year in and year out.
Yeah, and keeping those documents up to date. And Maryland just passed a law that if you get divorced, all your previous beneficiary designations designating your ex-spouse as your beneficiary is null and void now. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. But I want to maybe pick up on a little trap for the unwary back to the 401k that again, 401ks and, you know, what we call employer-sponsored plans, which is a creature of federal law, because federal law preempts state law, that some of those rules do not apply, you know, to your 401k.
So you still have to go in and change it.
You'll need to change, exactly, because at that point you cannot rely on state law to save you under those circumstances. So even, you know, that these give you some level of protection, it's certainly not the plan you should be relying on, and that's why it becomes very, very important to make sure you understand the type of assets you have and understand the implications. So, again, whenever there is a marriage, whenever there's a divorce, it really becomes incumbent to relook at everything and not rely on the default, which could work in your favor, admittedly,
right.
Which is why the state legislature passed it, because it was having and saving a lot of families from these unintended consequences. But that should not be the plan, and there should be you know, an affirmative decision on how to properly set things up to avoid these hassles.
All right, Roger, we got to take another pause for traffic. Again, if anybody out there has a topic they want to address, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. I'm here with my good friend Raj Gul, who's helping us with estate planning, elder care planning. I do, though, Raj, have a couple callers. We might as well go right to them. Nick,
yeah?
How can we help you?
Yes, hello. I have a long-term care insurance policy, and I'm just wondering if what would be some of the circumstances where I might need a trust, or should I look into getting a trust if I have a long-term care insurance policy?
You're talking about a Medicare trust to protect your assets if you went into a long-term care facility, right?
No, I have a an insurance policy for the long-term care.
Okay. Well, yeah. Raj?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously no definitive answer. I mean, it obviously takes some time to take a look at your circumstances, your assets, your income, what you're trying to do. You know, are you trying to do tax planning? Or are you trying to protect the money from potential
assets
costs? Yeah. So, you know, I mean, there's, like anything in life, there's good and bad about it. You know, are you willing to relinquish control of certain assets to protect it? You may not need to do it between your long-term care insurance and your income, you know, investment income, Social Security pensions. You may be fine.
His best option, Raj, may be to, if he does have a situation, as soon as his family thinks he might have a situation, they use the long-term care of an assets to pay for 5 years and then develop a trust to protect assets after that.
That's exactly right. It's never too late to do some level of planning. And, you know, so I think you just really want to have someone kind of evaluate the overall situation. And I think that will help kind of guide you as to what's good and what's not. You know, it's easy to have a trust, but there's a lot of hubbub that goes with it.
So you don't have any medical issues right now, Nick, right?
Knock on wood, correct.
Okay, so I would do like Raj said, just wait, and if anything ever develops, tell your family, use the long-term care, your assets to handle things, and then go seek somebody you're like Raj out immediately. All right?
Okay, thank you.
All right. We got the next up. Chris is Earl, right?
Hi, how's it going, Drew?
How you doing, Earl?
Okay, pretty good. I have a question. I just want to make sure I heard this right. Did your guest say that if a person gets married, if he gets married again, right?
Right.
I've been married once, but if I would get married again, and I have an IRA set up for my children, even though it's set up as an IRA to go to my children, that as soon as you would get married, that doesn't mean anything. Did I hear that right?
Sort of, but not really. Good, Raj. Explain that to him.
So not quite. I mean that your children would still be the primary beneficiary, but there are certain rights that your spouse would have to potentially take and make a claim. Again, that's the elective share that we alluded to earlier in the conversation.
Well, you said
That's only on 401ks that your beneficiary becomes the spouse the minute you say I do.
That's a regular. Is there any difference between a regular IRA and a Roth IRA?
This has nothing to do with traditional IRAs and Roth IRAs. This has only to do with company 401k plans and possibly an organization's 403B plan that when you say I do an ERISA-qualified plan like a 401k, your spouse becomes your beneficiary, but not in an IRA, not in a Roth. Right, Raj?
Okay, that's exactly right. I didn't understand it because I said, well, the planning, I mean, if somebody... somebody like me.
It gets complicated. So your IRAs and your Roths, no. But your 401Ks and 403Bs, possibly? The minute you say I do, absolutely.
How about, in the government, you have like a thrift savings fund. Does that also apply to the thrift savings plan?
Thrift savings plan, I believe, is ERISA qualified, isn't it, Raj?
It is.
Yep.
So
thrift savings...
I do, so you'd have to make that waiver.
Yep.
After I do is made.
Thrift savings plan falls
like
in that book.
A 401. So
yep.
A regular IR, you say, Drew, or a Roth, that has, there's no claim if you set that up. But
that's correct.
Fund from the government.
But you have to keep in mind what Raj was saying to you now. You've got this new marital right law in Maryland. Even though your children are your legal beneficiaries, mm-hmm. your spouse has a possibility of petitioning the courts after you die and saying, I know he left that to his children, but I didn't get enough money according to your law. And Maryland will say, okay, we're going to take a hunk of that and give it to you because you deserve more money according to our law.
Is that even that would mean even in a regular IRA?
Even in a regular
IRA. That's a new law. So monumental.
Joe, I don't have to worry about that. I'm not close to, but I always listen to you anyway. For years,
right.
I've been listening to you.
Well, we got
to
go. We got to get one more caller in.
Okay,
but thank you, Earl. All right,
thanks,
next
Earl.
Caller, Lee. I think right.
Yeah, getting back to what you were just talking about. If you get married, does for the TSP, do they have 100% claim on it or
Raj?
Well, in terms of, the spouse, would have, priority, 100% claim, unless, again, the waivers are signed after the marriage. Otherwise, again, the spouse would have top priority to get it because, again, it falls in that same category.
All of it. So that would even go beyond the new Maryland law, which was...
Well, the Maryland law has to do with getting divorced. You're now talking about you get remarried. All of a sudden, your thrift savings plan becomes 100% the spouse that just said, I do with you.
Unless
what's the backup plan if the spouse doesn't want to sign off on it?
You're going to have to get divorced. You better hope you signed a good prenuptial agreement.
Right. That's why these issues become very important at the outset, before the wedding, before the marriage, to make sure we think this through for you.
Yep. All right, Lee. Good question. Thank you for your call.
Thanks, Lee.
All right. Take care. Raj, I had one quick thing before we finish here, and that is we probably scared the living bejeebers out of people saying I do at the altar because they don't want, but if you don't, then there are other negatives in that regard. For example, in Maryland, they're going to take 10% of anything you leave to a domestic partner.
Yeah, then you get into the inheritance tax laws. When you leave money to an unrelated party, by and large, you have a 10% inheritance tax. Yeah, you might kind of feel like, they get you whether you're coming or going. And while that may be true, I think the message that we want to leave everybody with is that, yes, there's consequences to everything. But the more planning and the more proactive you are to get the right information and understand it.
We're running out of time, so give them your phone number, Raj.
Yep.
Give them your phone number.
443-738-1516.
Say it again.
443-738-1516.
And that's Offutt Kerman that you're with, right, my friend?
Correct. That's right. Exactly.
All right. You could find him at Offutt Kerman. But, Raj, always when I have a great guest like you, I run fast that the show goes just so fast. So I appreciate your time, my friend.
Thanks for having me. Have a great 4th of July relaxing weekend for you.
All right. Take care, my friend. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
People you love with love. Show them here.
things are gonna be much better.